poisonous to breathe. In Revelation chapter 19, we'll look at these verses for some more perspective here, and we'll come back to some of these verses again, but I want to pull the last part of that verse out where it says, "These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." In chapter 9 of Revelation, verses 17 and 18, 9, 17 and 18, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them," this is happening in the tribulation period, "having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke and brimstone. By these was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth." Brimstone is very, very dangerous. It's a poison, and it burns. It really burns. Luke chapter 17, verse 29 tells us that this was what God used. 17:29, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Brimstone is not something to mess with. It is dangerous. It's a poison. And then we notice that there will also be the smell of burning flesh. I know some of you may be in the military, or by some accident that have happened, maybe have smelt burning flesh. Burning flesh is a terrible smell. In Vietnam, we had the napalm, and the smell of burning flesh is horrible. It's a smell you don't forget very often. And you say, well, I thought that if their flesh is going to be burning, then they will be destroyed. No, they're never consumed. The flesh burns, but it's never consumed. Look at the scripture. Don't let me tell you. Let the Bible tell you. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 13 and 14. "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it." And then if you look in chapter 1, verse 31, this passage is very clear here. Chapter 1, verse 31, "The strong shall be as the tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them." They keep burning. Fire never goes out as the flesh burns, but is never consumed. And then in Revelation, back again to chapter 20 and verse 10 of Revelation, we pull something out of this verse, last part of this verse, and it says, "And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Those in the lake of fire will burn forever." That was talking about Satan there, the beast and the false prophet and the devil himself. But as we go to Matthew chapter 25, we see that not only applies to them, it applies to everyone who is in hell. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And then in chapter 18 and verse 8 of Matthew 18:8. Wherefore, if thy hand offend thee, or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into a life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There are some who say that hell is a place of destruction, so therefore they will just be burned up and be gone. But if you have that view, you have to deny several scriptures, and the scriptures that we just read about everlasting fire. But there are some who hold to that. But the Bible teaches over and over that hell is a place of everlasting fire where people will suffer there throughout all eternity. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark or in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Everlasting fire, burning in the fire forever. In Psalm 49, verse 19, this is another one we'll come back to later, so you can keep it in your memory banks. Psalm 49 and verse 19. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Never see light. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Matthew 8, 12. Here we read, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing has the meaning of like gritting the teeth. Oh, it's like extreme pain. Oh, whenever you maybe hit your thumb or something, what do you usually do? Oh, and you grit your teeth because of the pain. That's the gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then in chapter 25 and verse 30, 25:30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jude chapter 1 and verse 13, it's only one chapter, but that's the correct way to put it. Jude chapter 1 and verse 13. It says here, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Very clear. So hell is the lake of fire is a place of extreme pain. And the only light there is the light of the fire. If you remember in Luke chapter 16 and verse 25, it's a place of extreme pain. Jesus told this about hell, the place where the souls are right now, and the souls will be pulled out of hell, as we saw in the last lesson, and reunited with the body that's been in the grave or wherever it's decayed away, and put the body and soul back together, and body and soul will be cast into hell. But we draw some conclusions about what it's going to be like in the lake of fire from what it is like in hell right now. And so here in Luke chapter 16, we read in verse 23 to 25, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, but Lazarus likewise evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. We know that it is a place of torment. Verse 28 brings that out again four times in this passage. It's a place of torment there in verse 28, lest they also come in this place of torment. It is a place of extreme pain. And then in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then chapter 13, verse 42. Chapter 13 and verse 42. In the wrong chapter there. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Not only weeping, but wailing. If there were some way we could just hear the cries of hell tonight, every one of us would leave this room different people. If we could just hear the cries of hell tonight and what's going on there. We're told seven times that there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Seven times gnashing of teeth is mentioned in the New Testament. And then we have verse 50 there, says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I know we all know what a furnace is. How would you like to walk into it? I don't think it would be pleasant to do that. Luke chapter 13 and verse 28. Luke 13, 28 says this, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Revelation chapter 14, 11, we read that, where they have no rest day or night as they're suffering there in hell. In chapter 20 and verse 10, again, we read that in the book of Revelation, where they are in torments. Both of those passages uses the word torment. And it is a place of extreme pain. Back to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. And verse 3. The sorrows of hell compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Talked to a group of fellas one day when I was out visiting, and they laughed at me and told me, hey, when we get to hell, we're going to have a big party. No, the Bible says I found trouble and sorrow. I'm not going to have any big parties in hell. Place of extreme pain and suffering. And then we know from Luke 16 that the body, when you read and look at that passage closely, I put there in the notes that the body will have all five senses, because he has five senses in the spirit. So when the body is resurrected, we just know it will have the same, because the body does have those five senses. And he has them in his spiritual body, the rich man in hell, verse 23 adds sight. Verse 24, taste, touch, smell. Verse 25, hearing. And also, he has in verse 25, memory. He remembers. Memory has memory. In Psalm 88, 4 to 6, these verses are really sobering when you think about the lake of fire. In Psalm, every bit of it's sobering, really. Sometimes I wonder how we can study this and not, it doesn't bring tears to our eyes. Here in Psalm 88, verses 4 to 6, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. The word pit there is also translated in the Old Testament as dungeon. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. And then we look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 Peter 2, 17 is a passage that tells us something different here. It says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The mist of darkness. You can look in Acts 13, 11, get a little perspective on this mist of darkness in Acts chapter 13 and verse 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is with me, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. The word mist is also translated darkness in the New Testament. And so the idea is that we have all this smoke and everything that's going up and the burning flesh, and there's just a mist there that it's just hard to see. But the fire is burning, but the mist of darkness is there. Psalm 49:19, they shall never see light. In Psalm 18:4-5, we pick up another perspective here in Psalm 18. And if I sound like I'm hurrying, I am hurrying. I try to get through all of this. There is a lot in the Bible about the lake of fire and hell. Psalm 18, verses 4 and 5. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented, old English word meaning went before me. The snares of death went before me to prevented me. And so that tells us about the sorrows and extreme pain that we face, the suffering, and now the sorrows and the ungodly men. We read about those in Revelation 21, verse 8. Maybe we better go back there and just recap in Revelation 21, verse 8. Who's going to be there? The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, that's drug users, and the occult, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part. Floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he is holy, let him be holy still. Hell, a filthy, dirty, wicked place where the wicked will be many, many be wicked there, abominable. And 2 Samuel 22, verses 5 and 6, again talks about the sorrows of hell and what a terrible place it is, making him afraid. And that's requoted then in Psalm 18. But there is no promise. You can study through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and there is no promise of a new body. Certainly is for us who are believers. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to get a new body, a glorified body. No more sickness, no more pain, no more headaches, back aches, toe aches. None of that. It's all going to be gone. No diabetes, no cancer, none of that. We're getting a new body. But it's never promised for those in hell. A person who has died lost with cancer is going to have cancer eating in his body in hell forever in the lake of fire. And the pain of that, I've known some people who have died of cancer. I've been around death more than I'd like to be around death. Being in the ministry, you're around death quite a bit. And I've been around people dying of cancer, and it is and they've been horrible pain and agony. And even with giving them the painkillers, and to think of that, a person eaten up by cancer in the lake of fire and just feeling that pain as well as the heat of the flames. What a horrible situation to be in. There is no promise of a new body. And back in Luke chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, we realize that the rich man cried out that Lazarus would just dip his finger in water and touch his tongue and cool his flame, the flame. And so what we realize that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, says they have no rest day nor night there. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast, no rest day nor night. So we realize that the lake of fire is a place of no water or food or rest. And Job 26 and verse 6 indicates that it is a place of no clothing. The clothing is not there. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, speaking of the devil, when is going to end up in the lake of fire. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Now when you stop and think about this, is the lake of fire going to be down? It says that hell from beneath is moved for thee. I don't know exactly where the lake of fire will be, but I know that the people in hell today, tonight, are crying out, we can't wait till we get that devil down here. The devil that deceived us. The devil that led us astray cries out. It says, stirreth up the dead for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, verse 11, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. The literal Hebrew word that's translated worms here means maggots. That's what it means, is maggots. And then you remember one of the names of Satan is Beelzebub, and Beelzebub means Lord of Flies. Lord of Flies. And Mark chapter 9, verse 45 to 48, and if thy foot offend thee, this was Jesus speaking, he said in verse 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, three times he mentions this, and the word worm there in the Greek means maggot. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, and in the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm, notice it's possessive, theirs, it belongs to them, their maggot dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. You remember we studied there in Psalm 22 where Jesus said, I am a worm. And the word for worm there is the scarlet worm. It's a different worm. It's not a maggot. It's a worm that you look it up on the internet and you will find that it is a real worm, and it's there in Israel and in the Middle East, and that worm dies for its babies, and they're stained with red. And he said, their worm dieth not, but the scarlet worm dies for its babies. And so we notice here that the maggots dieth not. Continue to be there. There's a place of worms, maggots crawling all over and in the bodies. Why? Because hell is a place of always dying, but never dead. You see, it is eternal death. Dying always, but never, ever dead. And one of the things that we read there in Psalm 88, verses 4 to 6, shall lie. It's like lying in the grave. It's like being dead, floating in the lake of fire, an eternal death. Always dying, but never, ever dead. In Revelation 19:20, we go back there, and we find, and the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So notice that the Antichrist, first of all, is mentioned there, the beast, the Antichrist, and then we have the false prophet. So, chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That and other scriptures teach us that Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophets, and demons will be there. Not very pleasant company there in the lake of fire. Everything we can describe of it, it is a terrible, terrible place. We just kind of put all this together: fire, smoke, worms, the maggots, burning flesh, brimstone, terrible odor, like rotten eggs, darkness, no pleasures, not going to be any pleasures, ungodly, wicked people, sickness, no food, no water, suffering, weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth, no hope, no help, and this, according to the Bible, is forever. And then according to Psalm 143 in verse 7, they will never, ever see the Lord again after they are cast into the lake of fire. Psalm 143 in verse 7. I don't know how any believer can study this and their heart can be hardened to the need to get the gospel out. If that's the case, if you can study this lesson tonight and you're not moved and your heart is not spoken to, then I think you need to get right with God. because hell is a horrible place. And it should be our desire and our drive to try to warn everybody we can. Well, I'm not going there, so why should I worry? Well, what about family members? What about friends? Do you really care? Do you care like the Lord did, who is willing to come and give his life to free people from hell? And Jesus warned more of hell than any other speaker of the Bible. He warned over and over. And many of these verses that we read were by him. Verse 7 says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." Never again see the face of the Lord. Never again. Always dying, but never dead. Eternal death. Eternal death. That's the Bible's description of the lake of fire. It isn't a pretty picture. It isn't something that we can take lightly and we can laugh over and we can make jokes about. It's horrible. And it ought to move us as believers to say, we've got to reach people. Just giving out that gospel tract may lead to someone coming to Christ and not have to end up in the lake of fire. So the next time you're faced with that opportunity to give out a tract, think about that. Think about that. There have been many people who have gotten saved just by reading a gospel tract. So be sure that you do your job and let people know there is a way of escape. Yes, you'll run into people who think that this stuff about hell is just a joke and there's no truth to it. But at least we can warn them. And then it's on their back and not ours. Remember what he said there. If we fail to warn them, then their blood is on our hands. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to know you and to know this escape from the lake of fire. We know that it was not your intention to put any human being there. You planned it for the devil and his angels. But because you are a just God, and if man refuses your offer of eternal life, then there is no other alternative but the lake of fire. And you've made it clear in your word that if anyone will seek the truth, you promise that they will find it. And Father, you told us to go and tell them. And if we would tell them, some will hear and some will believe. Help us to be faithful in doing our job to bring the gospel to those who need it so desperately. They might escape the horribleness of hell, a lake of fire. We thank you. We love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.